Let us pray. Almighty God, what a great day to be with you in the company of all who believe. Lord, we thank and praise you and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would cause us to hear your still small voice. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my savior. Amen. If you pull out your worship folder in there is a sheet of paper. On one side, it's got sermon notes. You can fill in the blank. There's enough room to put in any notes that you feel or any words that you feel God is speaking to you. On the other side is a weekly devotion. I encourage you to follow along this week as it will take you through Holy Week. If you're listening online, there is a PDF file that you can download with both the worship and the sermon notes or the devotions. The average lifespan of a male, based on a USA article, is 76.4 years. 76.4 years for men, and for women it is 81.2. 81.2 years old. A part of this is due to the medical care that people receive now, which can extend life beyond what people might have normally lived. And the fact that women live long, So part of this is due to medical care, which extends life on one side of the spectrum. And for younger people, it keeps life. We don't have the infant mortality rate that we once had. And the fact is that women do live longer, almost 5 years due to a number of things, maybe the superiority of mind, of heart, of body, but I do not want to speculate on this today. Although according to another article, about 12% of all people in the U.S. will reach the century mark. That's about 20 to 25 years longer than what is average. And of course, if average is the average and you've got people living 20 to 25 years older, you'll have a number of people, 12% or so, living 20 to 25 years less. But the number one thing when it comes to statistics about lifespan that you can avoid is this. 100% of the time, people's lives will end. Death is inevitable. There is no cure for death. We all have to face the death. We all have and will face the death of loved ones. And one day, we must too face our own mortality. Now, in our scripture this morning, Jesus deals with the death of a friend named Lazarus. For a time, scripture says he was sick, and Jesus was asked to come and see him. And Jesus' response to the disciples who are with him when he is asked to go see them may have been confusing to them. Read it with me. The sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. It seems either Jesus knew what his heavenly Father was going to do, or Jesus knew that whatever he asked, his heavenly Father would grant. But in order for God to be glorified, one thing had to happen. Lazarus had to die. Lazarus had to die, and in his death there would be some suffering. Not only physically by Lazarus, but also emotionally by those who knew and loved him. Those who were close to him. And as I think about miracles or the miraculous, it seems to me that miracles and some level of suffering always go hand in hand. Miracles and some level of suffering generally go hand in hand. For isn't it true we don't look for a miracle unless there's some kind of need? Oh, the need might be something small. It might be something large. The suffering could be physical or it could be emotional. But for many, we don't ask unless there is some type of need or suffering. In Mary and Martha's case, the suffering was great as their brother was first dying and then eventually died. But God had a plan for Jesus to be glorified in and through it. Now, I hope you were listening to the scripture as it was read. Those first two verses in the reading stated this. On his arrival, Jesus found Lazarus had already been in the tomb for how many days?
4 days.
Let's read the rest of it. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. Now, I'm not sure what you see, but I see Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived less than 2 miles from the central city of Israel, Jerusalem, the city of God. And in their dealings, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus had many friends who resided close to or maybe even in Jerusalem. And many, it says, came to comfort Mary and Martha in the loss of their brother. Some who would come had heard of Jesus, but most had not met him or seen him, but maybe they heard of him by word of mouth. The rumors about this young rabbi may have been associated rumors of what he had done in his nearly 3 years of ministry. A powerful preacher and teacher, healing the sick and the lame, casting out demons. They may have even heard the story of him raising a little girl from the dead, which were all true. But I wonder if the rumor of him being the Messiah wasn't also there amongst these rumors. He claims to be the Son of God. It's important to note, though, that many gathered. Many had gathered there, some who believed, some who had heard, but maybe not believed, and some who didn't know him at all. Jesus is going to reach a big crowd today. And we all have to remember that we live lives with some who believe in Jesus, some who have just heard of Jesus, and others who have never heard of Jesus. We find on a spiritual plane, not much has changed in the last 2,000 years. As we live today with some who know Jesus, others who have simply heard of Jesus, others who have not heard his name at all. When Jesus arrived, Martha went out to meet him. And Martha says, if you had just been here, my brother would not have what? Died. Martha knew in her heart of hearts that Jesus would have healed Lazarus in his sickness, made him whole if he had just been there. But that's not the wow statement. The powerful statement comes next and is a statement that gives me hope each time I pray. Martha said this, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. I wonder, could it be that she is stating that she believes Jesus receives from God whatever he asks in general? Or could it be that she's stating that even 4 days later, if Jesus asks, God will give even life to Lazarus? If Jesus asks. You know, we'll know the answer to this verse as we go into the next two verses. Really, let's do it this way. I'm going to be Jesus. All right, I'll be Jesus. You guys, you're Martha. Who am I?
Jesus.
It's not true. No. I'll be Jesus and you're going to be? Okay. Your brother will rise again. Now, does it seem to you in Martha's response that she believes Jesus can raise Lazarus from the dead now, that God will give him whatever he asks? No, not at all. It seems that she trusts him, but her brother is now on the other side of the doorway between life and death. Our question today then is, like Martha, are we willing to believe Jesus can do more today than we previously thought? Do we believe that Jesus can do more today than we previously thought? We may not talk of physical life or death, but can Jesus do more in your life than you ever thought possible? And it is here Jesus makes one of those seven I am statements that reveals to us more specifically not only who he is, but what he can do. Jesus affirms Martha this way. Read it with me. I am the resurrection and the life. Hold it. What was that again? I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Oh, it's quite a statement, isn't it? A statement only God could make. A statement only God could fulfill. The one who believes in me, Jesus, will live even though they die. Do you believe in Jesus? And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Martha responds, yes, Lord. And then she says this. And as you say these words, don't just speak these words you see on the screen. Say these words on the screen as though you're talking to the Lord. Ready? I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God who has come into the world. Doesn't this feel good? Not just to say this to Jesus, but to say it aloud. To say it out loud within the community of faith around you. Doesn't it feel good? Yes, Pastor. We should always be willing to say aloud, Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. We could end the sermon right here with Martha's encounter with Jesus, and it would seem complete. We believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and we've confessed it together with each other. But I see I've got a couple more minutes. Now, Scripture states that Martha went and told her sister Mary Jesus was asking for her. So Mary went and found Jesus, and just like her sister said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. They both had faith in Jesus, a Jesus who could heal their brother from sickness. But did they have a faith that he could raise him from the dead? As Jesus and Mary went to the tomb, some of them said, could not he who had opened the eyes of a blind man have kept this man from dying? You see, it's all about keeping someone alive. But what about afterlife? I don't know if you remember or not or noticed in the scriptures, Jesus had brought back to life a little girl who had died, but her death seemed only to have lasted long enough for her father who came to Jesus and Jesus to then go walk back to his home. In terms of CPR, that could have been less than a 4-minute walk that would have saved her brain and her vital organs. Jesus raised her from the dead. And yet in this moment, Martha, Mary, and others speak only in terms of Jesus keeping someone alive. You see, they recognize the power he calls upon through God to heal. But this resurrecting from the dead really only occurs in their mind at the end of the age. And for many Jews, back then, it was really a sketchy thing. We think people are alive at the end of the age, but we don't know how it happens. And then for some Jews, they didn't believe in any resurrection at all. So Jesus was really challenging what they knew or understood about him. I am the resurrection and the life. In the here and now, that is in today's age, we have to note that there are many people who are unsure what happens when someone dies. Nothing has changed in the last 2,000 years. And some believe that this is all there is, and then there is just nothing. We're done. Gone. just a memory in someone else's living mind. But you and I know the truth that Jesus is not just life, that Jesus is the resurrection too. Now, by the time Jesus and Mary have reached the tomb, Martha and the rest of the mourners have also gathered there. And this is what I really appreciate about Jesus. What I really appreciate. Jesus is about making sure that people have no reason. No reason to doubt who he is. No reason at all. If you don't believe my words, Jesus said, then believe the deeds. Believe the deeds I have done. Remember what he said to his disciples before? This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son, Jesus himself, may be glorified in it. This is a statement to all who have gathered there. I am the Son of God. I have the power to give life. Even if it seems too late for you, it's not too late for me. It's never too late for Jesus to do miracle work. Even in our lives, it's just never too late. Now, Jewish tradition states that after 3 days in the grave, the person's soul left their body. If this tradition, which was true in the first century, if it was true during Jesus' day, then there was no miracle to be had. It's been 4 days. The soul has left the body. It's begun to decompose. Lazarus was gone. But not for the one who created by speaking the world into existence. No, not for the one who gave life to man by breathing into them the breath of life. No, not to the one who claims to be the resurrection and the life. To leave no doubt, after Jesus asks for the grave stone to be rolled away from the entrance of the tomb, he looks up to heaven. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. Read now what you would have heard if you had been standing there. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the electricity flowing through the crowd gathered there? I mean, how many times have you seen someone raised from the dead? How many times? For me? Goose egg. But Jesus is going to leave, again, no doubts. When he calls in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. What happens? He comes out. He's the resurrection and the life. Did you have any doubt? No. You didn't have any doubt because we're looking at it in hindsight. It's already happened. It's already occurred. Many standing there may have doubted, but now we have their witness that it really happened. What they saw with their eyes, what they heard with their ears, happened. It occurred. It is a done deal. Friends, in this story, there are three sets of people. There are those who already believed in Jesus. And then there are those who have heard about Jesus and rumors of what he's done, and they're on the cusp of believing in this Jesus. We'll say they're exploring the possibilities. And then there are those who do not believe. There are those who do not believe. And I'm thinking afterward, there were many who believed. Now, I'm going to say that Mary and Martha were in category number one. They were those who had already believed. And I'll make the assumption that we are also in the first category of those who believe and are exploring that Jesus is indeed the Son of God who has power over even death itself. But for me, knowing Jesus not only comforts me, and I hope this is true for you, but he gives me hope for the life to come. For the life to come. When I see what Jesus has done, I don't fear death. It will come to us all 100% of the time. But it's only a doorway into heaven. But there are others in our lives who have heard of Jesus and are not yet convinced. They are not yet convinced that he has power over death. Sure, they've heard the rumors, but they haven't talked with the witnesses yet. They're not quite there to commit themselves fully to Christ. And we have to note that I believe God asks us, you and me, to be the Marys and the Marthas in their lives, to remind others that Jesus does raise people from the grave. God asks us to pray for them. God asks us to live lives pleasing to him in front of them, and then to share the hope that we have found in Jesus, that we no longer have to fear death. You know, I've met people, as you have, that are living in this third category that just don't believe. Some of these people are dead set against any religion and are simply unwilling to give Jesus or even God one moment's breath. We live with them. We still need to be ready to give them a reason for the hope that we have, whether they believe it or not. And then we all live in the midst of people who are truly good people and have simply never heard or are reluctant to talk about it. It's safer to remain at arm's length. I can't tell you how many times I've heard, but I'm a good person, right? What concerns me most is when people who are regular churchgoers who have committed their lives to Christ, when asked, and it's happened multiple times to me, when I go to the hospital and we get talking about life and death, and I ask them, well, how do you know that you would be in heaven one day? And their answer just deflates me. Well, I'm a good person. And I'm thinking in my mind, I'm thinking, you come to church almost every Sunday of the year, and that's the best answer you can give me? Please, 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 don't ever be afraid to say, I'm going to heaven because Jesus is my Savior. He is the Messiah. He is the resurrection and the life. We're about to sing a song, My Jesus, I Love Thee. And in the first verse of that hymn, I want you to really love Jesus. Because he is the resurrection, because he is the life, because he gives you a hope for a future that too many people don't have. He gives you a reason to get up out of bed at night, out of bed in the morning. And if it's at night, go to your scriptures, right? But he gives you a reason to go to wake up in the morning, and he gives you a reason to rejoice at night. To know that your life is in his hands. In the third verse of this hymn, My Jesus, I Love Thee, I want you to belt it out. Because it talks about a time yet to come. A time that we have placed our hope in Christ for. Does that make sense? First verse, worship God. Second verse, sing it. Third verse, belt it out. Can you do that for me this morning? Can you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Can you? Can you? Yes, Pastor. Let me pray. Lord, we're grateful that your Son proved beyond all doubts that he has the power of life, even in death. And we ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to live out our days, that we would rejoice in the life that you give to us now and into the future. Lord, we worship you, your sons and daughters, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength this morning in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.